All right, well, we're getting final things set up here. Let me introduce myself. I'm going to open up with prayer, actually. My name's Chip Zimmer. I'll be leading this workshop on developing relational skills through the relational wisdom framework, way of thinking about what that looks like. But let me open us in prayer. Father, thank you so much that we can gather here. We ask your blessing. Please overcome these technical difficulties so that we have a PowerPoint and a microphone. Everything works together well. But whatever the outcome, Lord, we know you're in charge. And help us to hear your voice, to speak your words, and to think your thoughts so that we bring you honor and bring you glory through this time of considering together what it looks like to pursue relational skills. We thank you for that and ask your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, first let me start with just a little background. We've been working on developing a way to use coaching. And coaching is just somebody who comes alongside and helps someone learn something, oftentimes by bringing very practical exercises that they can do. So you have tennis coaches and life coaches and probably cooking coaches and every kind of coach to help people learn to do something that they would like to learn to do. And so we, a couple years ago, started thinking about, well, how can we help people develop relational skills? I mean, relational wisdom is all about, right, having great relationships. What would it look like for us to actually be able to help people who, say, maybe have been through the RW seminar online or heard somebody speak, be able to actually wind up saying, I need some help in this particular area. You're an RW coach. Could you work with me and help me learn how to do something I'm not currently able to do? As we thought about this at the outset, we had to make a basic decision. We saw two ways to approach this. The first was for us to develop a list of X number of key relational skills that everybody has to learn. And so what we do as coaches is we let you select from that menu what relational skill you want to work on, and then we help you learn that relational skill. The problem was that in our own lives and the lives of people we knew, relational skill problems were often embedded in the context of relationship, where because a person was struggling with some skill, with quotes around it, the relationship wasn't going very well. And oftentimes, the source of that problem doesn't reside so much in the skill per se as it does in the quality of the relationship. And so we realize we may have five key skills that we can offer, but if we're not helping you address your context, what's really going on and what you really feel you need to work on, where your real point of struggle is, we're probably going to miss a great opportunity, because we felt that building relational skills is all about becoming relationally wise. Relationally wise Christians tend to have pretty good relational skills. If you're a relationally unwise person, you may know how to actively listen and provide feedback and all of the technical side of things, but you know what? It's not going to be particularly effective in developing your skills, because in developing the relationship, because of the whole picture. There's a whole relational context here that we wanted to help people consider. So that's what we decided to do. And what we're doing today is we're presenting a summary of where we've gotten to so far. I would consider this a soft opening off Broadway. This is not a finished product. This is a work in progress, and we would love to get your feedback. To the extent we've been able to try it out, though, it seems to be pretty helpful, but it's also a little bit different from what you may be expecting when I use the term relational skills. So I'm going to ask you to make initially think in terms of relational abilities, of core character qualities that a person has, the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians. Okay. Those are the kinds of things, in addition to what we usually think of as relational skills, active listening, asking good questions, speaking in a way that the other person can really hear and understand what you say. Those will and can be part of it, but we wanted to look at a bigger picture. And so that's what we're going to be showing you today. How are we doing on this?
We're ready.
We're ready, okay. Can I put this up here without pulling plugs out so I can see? Or it's not necessary. Yeah, I can just. Lovely. Uh-oh. We're back. Oh, crumb. I shouldn't have gotten to put it up here.
David! It's coming up.
It's coming up. Okay. So, all right. So, that's the background on this. Yes. Question in the back. Okay. The handout is the handout that was on the website for this class. But we're guessing a lot of people probably either didn't bring it, forgot it, or didn't bring a phone or something with them that they can call it up. So I want everybody to have a copy, so I made some extra copies. Okay, so that's where we're going to go with this.
This isn't working. I'm going to switch you out. It's not working.
This is not working?
No, I'll switch
this,
you out.
Is this, so this isn't working?
It's not working.
Oh, okay. Can I just use a pointer here?
You can use, yeah.
Just use which? This?
These.
Right
there, yeah.
All right. Oops. There we go. So what we're going to do is I'm going to walk you through where we've gotten to, explain step by step what this model looks like. As I do this, I want you to know that I've worked with five very talented individuals who have been extremely helpful as we put all of this together. And I want to introduce them. Dee Quick, would you just stand up? Dee was one of the members of our team that was helping with this. Allison Pickering, who's here at the conference, you will probably see Allison, and then Kristen Lawrence, Erin Johnson, and who was number five? Patty, my gosh. Patty Damiani, who has just been everybody's been a pleasure to work with. The usual disclaimer, whatever you like and think is good, they're responsible. Whatever you don't like and have a problem with, talk with me, because it's probably something I didn't listen to them on, and much to my chagrin and your lack of benefit. So we're going to start. What Patty and I are going to do, we're going to do a little demo. Now, we're not professional actors, so we're probably going to be mostly reading from a script, because we want to show you some things and show you how this can look in an ideal situation. Okay? This is not real life, but this is a lot harder in real life. We only have an hour, and an hour is not enough time to capture what would happen in real life. So we've idealized it in order to be able to give you some sense of what it might look like. So Patty and I are just going to walk through this demo piece by piece with each step that is involved in this relational wisdom model that we're talking about. Everything clear so far, what we're doing, where we're trying to go? Okay, feel free to ask questions, because I've been around this so long, it's obvious to me. And I want to make sure it gets explained to you in a way that is understandable, okay, that I don't get in the way of that. Okay, so here's the situation. Patty is a relational wisdom coach. She's been through training, we're members of the same church. I know that she has a wonderful reputation as a wise coach in developing relational skills. And so I'm coming up to her after church, and we're actually having this short little conversation. What I'll do is I'll just hold the mic like this,
okay,
rather than pass it back and forth. We're doing this for the recording, of course, and so you can hear. Okay, so, hey, Patty.
Hey, Chip, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great.
Hey, I'm having some problems, and I know you're a coach, an RW coach, relational wisdom coach. I'm wondering if you can help me with this.
Sure. Chip, what kind of problems are you having?
Well, sorry, I forgot to hold that over there. Too many moving parts.
Would you like to talk about the problem with technology?
That's why I have tech-savvy people around me. Okay, here's my problem, Patty. I find it really hard to be patient when I'm talking with my dad. You know, I start off okay, I think, be patient with the guy, but the more we talk, the more I just tune him out. Just stop listening to what he has to say.
Mm. So, it's your turn. How would you like to do this for him?
You want to give them the direction then?
So what I'd like you to do, you have a friend, you know, something about RDW and about coaching. They come up to you and they say, I'm having this problem. Can you help me? So the first question is, what would you advise them to do? And I'd like just to turn to a neighbor. So it's a one-on-one conversation. Just if someone comes, says, I'm having this problem, how would you advise them? Where would you begin? Where would you take them? Just want to get some ideas out here. All the time when we do this, we're not looking for right answers, okay? We're not to the right answers yet. That'll come hopefully a little bit later on. So just answer that question. We'll take a couple minutes and then we'll do a debrief. A lot of conversation going on. I come up to you and say, I'm really struggling being patient with my dad. Can you help me? What do you think I should do? And what advice do you give me? Just shout out your answer.
Ask a lot of questions.
Ask a lot of questions of my dad. What kinds of questions?
How long has this been going on?
Oh, okay. So it's the coach. Yeah, coach is going to ask a lot of questions to find out more information. Great, thank you. What else?
I want to get a safe space. So if it's right after church and there's a crowd, I want to get them off to the side.
Okay.
And let's find a spot where we can actually have a conversation that's not just sound bites.
Okay. So have a safe place off to the side where we're able to actually get into a little bit more. Good. What else? Anything? Any other ideas?
You said we'd start with empathy.
Start with empathy. Talk about empathy. Yeah, and so the coach can share, you know, this might be something you haven't thought about before. Empathy, do you have a sense of what that is? And actually walk them through what empathy looks like. Yeah.
My first thought was, wow, that's a pretty good question to be asking. Somebody's already identified they have a problem and wants to work on it. My first thought was, nobody would ask that. I said, well, somebody would ask that if you're known as a coach, you're going to have some level of but just to affirm that, be like, wow, that's great. I think it's wonderful that you're wanting to work on that. Whatever goes for affirm any interest in growing.
Great, okay. So affirm the interest in growing. I've expressed that patience is something I'm struggling with here. And you're right, a lot of folks wouldn't yet be at that point and they'd need to talk more, but we're having to foreshorten that conversation because we're short on time. So I'm sort of the ideal person to be coached by Patty, as you'll see. I have a lot of answers ready to go for her that'll help her move you along in developing more patience. Okay, so one of the things we watch out for in coaching is to prematurely diagnose and solve the problem that the person is expressing for us. So it's not primarily doing that. What we're primarily concerned about is helping people learn to be relationally wise. Okay, it's actually a maturing process. It's almost a discipling process. We use the term coach because that's a convenient term and it has a lot of visibility right now. But it's a number of things that we're doing to try to help people move along, a wiser person will be able to be more patient if they understand where they are and some of the things that are going on. So that's where we're trying to get to. So the RW model is all about building awareness of God, self, and others, and engaging that awareness to build relational skills. Now, how many of you are meeting relational wisdom for the first time this weekend? Okay, a few people. You were able to hear Ken last night talk about the paradigm that he's developed, which is God-aware, God-engaged, self-aware, self-engaged, other-aware, other-engaged. So that's the framework that we decided to work with. We felt we had to if this was going to be relational wisdom coaching rather than, you know, Chip's coaching or Ken's coaching or something like that. We wanted to bring it squarely within the RW paradigm. And so we're taking awareness and engagement as sort of the two core pieces of this. The more aware you are of your relationship with God and with this other person and yourself and what you're experiencing, the better the idea you're going to have that, okay, in this context, here's my point of struggle and here's what I want to do. I engage that understanding in order to identify what skills or abilities or character traits I need to work on in order to have the kinds of relationships I would like to have. Is that making sense so far? This is where we're going. The skills will come in as people, as we get further along, they will say, I'm really not a very good listener. Okay, well, we can help them learn listening skills. There's a lot of good material out there on listening skills. There's not as much on helping somebody sort through and figure out where they are relationally and what the wise relational outcome looks like. And so that's where we're trying to focus. So here's the RW paradigm. Those of you who are familiar with this will recognize it right off the bat. Those of you who saw it maybe for the first time last night, this is what Ken had up there. So he talked about emotional intelligence as being the basis for approaching this. And that's basically the green and the blue on this. It's all about self, okay, my self-awareness, and what do I do with what I know about myself? How do I engage that awareness in relationship with others? It's other awareness. What do I know about this other person or these other people generally? And how do I engage that? How do I actually use that to build the kinds of relationships that I would like to have? So, it came back anyway. The big element that was missing before and that now is really at the center is God. Because God, the vertical, is going to be the key to building those kinds of relationships that stand the test of time and truly bring honor and glory to our Lord. So the God element, being got more God-aware and God-engaging, is a big part of understanding what skills do I need to have, what abilities do I want to learn, what character traits do I need to cultivate in order, and how do I do that in order to be able to have great relationships. So that's the purpose, that's where we're going with this. The actual skills, the act of listening, the asking good questions, which Patty will teach on in a workshop this afternoon and tomorrow morning, those come after this. As we go into this, you'll see that we do get to that skill level, but it's after there's been this kind of reflection done by the people. So let me just break this down in terms of a coaching model. We wanted to ask the question, so how do we bring this awareness and engaging into a coaching model that actually can be taught to people? That you can go through a course, you can learn how to do this, and you actually have a step-by-step process that you can take people through. Something that will be clear to them and clear to you as coach. One of the outcomes we're hoping for is that this is a real learning experience for the people going through coaching. As they get used to asking and answering these kinds of questions that are raised in this model, they will actually develop the ability to begin to work through problems in their relationships without having to consult with a coach, or maybe not as much. They'll be able to return to notes, they can go to the online course, whatever it might be. It begins with reflect, and I'll talk more about this in a second. What's going on in my life? Where am I struggling relationally? What do I need to work on? Learning This is where we bring RW directly to bear on what they have identified in step one as the points of concern, the things that they need to work on. Okay. Then that is the awareness component. Well, let me just move ahead to that slide. Okay. So the step one is reflect, gathering the coach's story. Okay. So we're trying to find out what's going on, what do you need to work on, and why is that important to you? What's the end goal you're trying to reach? Refining the story is step two through the RW worksheets. As a result of that, I should be much more aware of what it is that's happening. These worksheets have the tendency to cause people to think deeply about where they are and what they want to do. Initially, what you'll find and what we're finding is that people say, oh yeah, I want to do this. But as they get into the worksheet and they're confronted by some of these questions, we'll go over the worksheet in a little bit, you'll find that, oh, I wasn't thinking about that before. Maybe I thought it was this that I want to work on, but oh, now I think it's really this. That's where we're trying to help them get to, is this reflective point or this learning point as they confront relational wisdom and then say, what is it that God truly is showing me on which I need to work? Any questions so far? So this is the awareness. At the end of this stage, someone should be as aware as they need to be able to move to the next stage. And that next stage is now to engage that awareness. Okay, here's what I know about myself and the skills, the abilities that I want to develop. What do I do to actually develop them? I need a plan. And so step three is to plan how you're going to develop those abilities. I used to be a tennis coach, okay? And we would plan all the time. You have a bad forehand? Great. What are some things we can do to correct your forehand? Well, let's first look what you're doing, and then we'll break it down, and put it in various parts, and we'll figure out where we need to focus. We actually have a plan, so we identify the skill that the person wants to learn, and we develop a plan that they can actually put in place to learn that particular skill or develop that character trait. And then finally, step four, apply. They go out and give it a try. You have this plan. You have a context in which you're going to try it out. There's somebody you want to work with that's going to help you do this. And you're actually now going to give it a try and see what happens. And after you give it a try, you're going to do a debrief with your coach. And the coach will ask you, how did it work? And what do you need to do differently next time? So four steps. Reflect, learn, plan, apply. It's pretty straightforward, although the actual execution will get a little bit difficult at times. Nonetheless, it's pretty straightforward. So any questions so far on this? Okay, then we're going to go a little bit more deeply into things with step one. Now the point... Come on up, Patty. Patty and I are going to do a little demo here again. The point of step one is to, in talking with the person that you're working with, to really understand them, their struggles, what it is they feel they need to work on, and why that's important. This is almost always going to be coming out of some kind of relational context. Maybe they don't have great conversations with their 14-year-old, and they'd like to be able to do that more effectively. Maybe in business meetings at the office, this person has a tendency, because one guy dominates the business, the conversation, has a tendency to clam up and not say things that are important to say. Okay, so the problem is, how do I actually speak what needs to be said in that context, in that situation? That's what we're trying to help people get to, is that kind of understanding and that kind of awareness. And a big part of this is, why is this important? Why does this matter? And the more that we feel, the more we feel that people understand, this is what I want to work on, and this is why it matters, the more likely they are to begin to personalize and help it to become an expression of who they are, so that rather than just learning a generic skill like active listening, they're now going to learn that in the context of the relationships where they struggle to be a good listener. And it's going to be something that is internalized and the response is going to come out of them rather than simply trying to follow skill steps that are taught with them, to them from the outside. That'll be part of it at times, but it's not necessarily where we go. Questions on this, on what this first step is all about? Yes?
Do you use the word why?
Sorry, do I use the word?
Do you use the word why? Because I've always been taught that why puts people on the defensive.
Oh, yeah, no, you...
Would you say, I'm really being serious about this.
No, so am I.
Because if something does go to the person's heart.
Yeah, so... Sorry, go ahead.
At the same time, I've always been taught, don't start something with a question.
Why is an easy question to ask, and it does tend to put people on defense. At least that's what the studies have shown. So it's better. Patty will be talking about this in session 3 tomorrow on asking good questions and some ways to work around it. So a why question really gets at motive. Okay. What was causing you to do this? There are other ways to ask this. What did you want to accomplish? What was important to you? Okay, that what question. Exactly. What is it about this that matters to you? So you get the same information, but you do it in a way that's less confrontational than asking why. Okay. Thank you. Good question. Others? Okay, so what we're going to do is a short demo of step 1. And remember, this is somewhat idealized. Okay, we are moving through this quickly. But here we go.
Chip, you mentioned you wanted to learn patience. What makes that important to you?
Well, my dad's not a believer, Patty. Mm. And he's getting up there in years. And right now, the only thing he knows about God or Jesus is what he sees in me, because he knows my faith. We've talked about it a lot. And so my concern is that I need to be to him the kind of person that functionally I'm what he will know about the faith. And so patience right now, I'm just not patient with him. I don't listen. He knows that. And I'm not that kind of person. He's not seeing Christ in me.
So Chip, what would patience look like in those situations?
What would patience look like? Yeah. I think, Patty, really hearing what he has to say, really listening to what he has to say, understanding what's important to him, caring about what's important to him. I think if he were to see that in me, and he's not right now, it would send a different message regarding how Christ lives in me and in our relationship.
So when you're in conversations and you're listening to him, what kind of thoughts tend to go through your mind?
Oh, man. My dad tends to lecture. Mm. And it drives me crazy. Because what he does, Patty, is he tells me what he thinks I should do. He's not at all interested in what I think I should do, and my ideas and my concerns. It's all pointing the finger and telling me this is how you need to do things. And that just frustrates me to no end. I just have no desire to hear that. Those are the thoughts that go through my mind.
So tuning out is a response to the frustration that's going on inside of you. When did you notice that beginning?
Well, I think I really began to tune out when our relationship really changed was after he left my mom. That was about 4 years ago. Okay. So we'll stop there. Just any thoughts or observations about how we work through. That's step 1. That's trying to get out what's important, what's going on in this person's life. It causes them, me in this case, to say, I need to be more patient. And that's what we were trying to get to. What are your thoughts or observations about how it went, how we did? Yes?
I liked how it was almost like a funnel. We went from very general to she a few questions got you down here at this cone where you're actually going to be able to do something.
Yeah. So starting from the general, moving down to more specifics, and that's part of what we'll help people learn how to do as they learn to coach. Because initially people are going to be all over the place, and you want to be able to help narrow them down to something that's working. Great, what else? Yes?
It's amazing how easy I know I feel like
practicing
and practicing.
Yeah, a few, I'm repeating for the mic here, or for the recording, a few questions can help someone reflect in a way they wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. What we're trying to do in step one is not come up with a final solution to what I want to work on, but at this point, what do I think I want to work on? Because we haven't taken a look at relational wisdom yet. Okay, yeah, very good.
It also shows that you really know what you should do. She is just helping you clarify what you already know.
Yeah. So I wrote this script in such a way that we wouldn't spend hours with Patty helping me identify what it is that I know. But that's the idea. Oftentimes when we want to help people, what we do is assume that they don't know what to do and we need to fix it for them, essentially say, here's what you need to do to fix your problem. And what we're trying to do with coaching is start from the other point of view, the point of view of what does Chip already know and how can we help him build on that in a way that gets him to God-honoring relationships. So that what do I know is what step one is all about. It's finding out where are you, what's important to you, what is the problem in this relationship look like to you? And that then becomes the sort of the foundation, the floor on which we can now consider, okay, where do you want to go from here? Good. So what we do next, any questions on that? It's for those of us like me who raised teenagers and are used to giving advice, this is quite different from what I'm familiar with doing. There are times, of course, when giving direct advice, direct counsel is absolutely the right thing to do. But for this situation, what we're trying to do is something different. Patty can always step in and give me ideas. That's not off the table. But if I can tell her, she can draw out of me what it is that's going on in me and help me clarify that. A lot of what she's doing is she asks these questions. Probably notice from the way I respond, it's not for her benefit to solve my problem. It's for my benefit so that I know, oh, this is where I'm struggling. I can now actually pinpoint it's this kind of situation. So that's the coaching mentality that we're trying to build into this. Questions before we move on? Okay, good. So we're now going to take a look at step two. You all have a SOG worksheet. Everybody bring that with them. Could I get a copy? I forgot to take it. You have an extra copy, actually. Yeah. Bruce, could you just look on with Lori, please?
Yes.
Thank you. That's okay.
Oh, okay.
If you'd give that to Bruce, please, Patty. Okay. So, at this stage, what we're doing is we're actually giving to the person we're working with this worksheet and saying, hey, I found this to be really helpful to help people reflect on relational wisdom, whether you know a lot, you've been through the Discovering Relational Wisdom course, or you're looking at this for the first time. I'd like for you to just work through this, and we give it as a homework assignment. It's not something that we're just going to sort of check off there in person, because if you do this well, it should take a fair amount of time to prayerfully reflect on the answers and then apply them to the circumstances that you're in. So for me, looking at this worksheet, what skills do I want to strengthen or develop? Patience, right? That's what I've said. This ability, we're calling it a skill, I want to become more patient with my dad. So with that in mind and my situation with my dad in mind, the context in which this desire of mine to build a relational skill of patience. With that in mind, I'm going to go through these three questions. They're just basically to the basic paradigm. Self-aware. What am I feeling and thinking about the situation? What attitudes of heart underlie my emotions and thoughts? Okay, that's really, if you're comfortable doing it as a coach and you know how to help people unpack where they're struggling in terms of what we call idolatry. If there is something that has taken over God in the center of their lives and that now is fundamentally driving their words and behavior and thought, this is a great opportunity to help the person you're coaching begin to grapple with that. And that's what this question opens up. What attitudes of heart underlie my emotions and thoughts, and what changes then of heart and mind do I need to make in order to support development of my target skill of patience. Can you see how that might cause some reflection that hasn't gone on in me up to this point? Next one, other aware. What do others seem to be feeling and thinking about this situation? About me? It's my dad. Am I treating others as I want to be treated? Pretty basic. And how can I shape the development of my target skill of becoming more patient to emphasize loving and serving others, loving and serving my father? Okay. Now you can and oftentimes would be very appropriate, but let's just open up the Bible and take a look at what Scripture says on this. It could be part of the assignment. It could be something that you just do spontaneously. For a lot of people, that's not necessary. They are so clear on what Scripture says that a statement is that they make is simply a summary. And it may be helpful to go to a verse, but not if it's reinforcing something they just said. You may not want to go there. So it very much depends on the coaching context and what's going to be helpful to the person that you're working with. We call that person the coachee because that's a shorter way of saying it than the person that you're coaching or the person you're working with. Okay, and then finally, God aware. What are God's priorities for me in this situation? Ouch. What would he want me to do differently? Another ouch for me. How does the gospel inform and influence my feelings and my thinking? And then finally, how can I shape the development of my target skill to reflect God's priorities and his love for me? It's all on one page. It's not very long, but boy, can it cause some reflection that people haven't been able to have before. And then finally, if you look down at the bottom of that front page, when you finish, please answer two final questions. Flip over on the back or page two. So what have I learned as I answered the questions on this worksheet? What new information or old information that I now understand in a different way has resulted? And then how does what I've learned impact my thinking about the skills I would like to develop? What changes would I like to make? It may have no impact. I'm finding, though, with many folks, it does have an impact. Sometimes a profound impact, sometimes a very subtle impact. But nonetheless, this is the end of step two. And what they will have accomplished is a heightened awareness, okay, of the relational context, of the skills and abilities they want to develop. And now if they're ready to actually answer the question. If that's where I am and that's what I want to change, how do I go about doing it? And so we shift from step two to step three, the whole engagement piece, and we will get onto that in a moment. But first of all, you and I think, do we have a, yes we do.
You.
Yeah, okay. So we're gonna do a little role play here, taking it to this next step. Because of time, Patty is only going to walk me through the self-aware portion. In a full coaching session, you do other aware and God aware as well. But we're only going to do that, and then after that, she's going to take me right away to those two questions. Okay, so you'll see a foreshortened version of this. So Patty, take it off. And I've done this as a homework assignment, and we're meeting again on a different day. Okay, so I've given this a lot of reflection.
Chip, let's look at that SOT worksheet. What did you discover about yourself as you answered the self-aware?
Oh man, Patty. I was so convicted. It was just so apparent as I looked at those questions and I reflected on them that my frustration and my impatience with my dad, it's really all about me. It's my anger that I haven't dealt with, my sadness at what's happened to our family as a result of his decision to leave my mom. I don't want to be patient with him. I mean, it's just not something that I'm interested in doing. But that's what I feel about this.
So you mentioned anger and sadness. How have those played out in your conversations?
Yeah, I get really frustrated, as I mentioned. I don't listen well. I'm sure from my facial expression and tone of voice, he totally knows that I'm not interested in what he has to say. That has to have really been apparent. You know, and sometimes what he tells me he thinks I should do, it's actually good advice. And just to spite him, I said, I'm not going to do that. Not because of the advice, but because of who it's coming from. This has been a real eye-opener.
Wow, lots of great self-discovery. Well, let's look at the last two questions, the final two. What have you learned about yourself as you reflected on the entire worksheet?
Yeah, boy, I realized, Patty, that if I want my dad to see Christ in me, if that's a priority, I've got some things I need to deal with. I need to deal with my anger. I need to deal with my disappointment, resentment over what he's done to me and to our family. Otherwise, things just aren't going to happen.
So how does what you've learned impact your thinking about which relational skills you want to work on?
Yeah, you know, when you and I talked the other day, I said I wasn't very patient with my dad, and that's still a problem. But I realized that underlying this is an attitude that has to change. If I don't deal with my attitude, I am never going to be able to show him the kind of patience that Christ shows me. So I think that's where I want to focus as well.
Okay, so what is one step that you can take toward developing?
One step I can take toward developing that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. First of all, thoughts or observations on this little demonstration that Patty and I did. Yes?
Is there ever a place to comment on what might be going on with your dad? Okay, well, my understanding, I understand this correctly, maybe this is happening. Is there ever a place to address that piece of it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's all kinds of opportunities in the coaching conversation to bring out things that as a coach, usually by asking questions, but occasionally making an observation that you think would be helpful to the person you're working with. This is really foreshortened. And by the way, this worksheet is not an end. I've always seen it, or I'm learning to see it as the beginning of a conversation. That now as we go into these topics provides an opportunity for us to continue to consider God's self and others and how it's going to impact developing the kind of relationship I want to have with my dad. You have your hand up, yes?
That's kind of right into the question that I was going to ask.
Okay.
The SOL worksheet, so in a normal coaching conversation, not an RW1, your initial session is going to be setting goals for the entire series. So is the SOL worksheet kind of what you're using to kind of set the goal for whatever series for the RW-related skills? So that becomes like what you're working through to define the overarching theme of the series?
Yeah.
Does my question make sense?
I think so. Let me try to answer it and tell me if I've understood. So your question is about distinguishing between step one and step two, and whether in step two we're really setting the scene for something that is more directly relational wisdom in terms of skills. Is that right?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking more like he's like model.
Uh-huh.
The very first session of a series is, you set series goals. So this feels to me like in the RW model coaching, you're using the SOG worksheet to sort of set those series, but that's the framework for saying, okay, here's how we're going to set RW goals. It can be based on this discovery, based on the relationship you brought as a presenting problem.
I think the answer is yes, but Patty is also a Keith Webb.
Vanna is here.
Go ahead and take it.
You know, this looks differently. When we're relational, when we're doing relational wisdom coaching, it looks different than you're setting up a series of leadership coaching goals or life coaching goals. But as your overarching goal is to grow relational wisdom. And what happens, like an onion, is that Chip's going to experience layer upon layer, and we'll go from dad, perhaps, to a business relationship, or But the overall, the series is undefined in the first session, and we discover it as we go. So it's a little different. The process is the same, but it's uniquely different in that beginning.
With step one, the point is to find out, what do I know? Okay, what am I pretty sure of here, or think I'm pretty sure of? Step two is all about finding out what I don't know. Okay, I've not thought deeply about God, self, and others, and how it impacts my relationship with my dad and where I want to get to. Okay, so by the end, we've taken what I knew, and it now becomes a new knowledge set. I know a lot more now than I did before. And it's going to impact what I think I want to work on and the kinds of changes I want to make. Yes? Yes.
Thank you, Patty. Doing one of those Christian leader workshops that we did with her a couple years ago. We went on and did more coaching. But one of the reasons I did was because as I realized that as we were in the middle of it, realize that actually happened. One of the reasons I kept going beyond Patty's class and got more is that just simple questions and that the piece of paper that the SOG worksheet seems really simple, and it seems really more cynical, like make hand interaction, but that really happens. I mean, a bunch of us were being trained and doing it in just in Patty's workshop for only a few weeks. And we knew the questions were coming, but when you had a problem in mind, if someone brings that question, you think about it differently. And because someone is willing to listen, you say things that maybe you wouldn't have said, and you really do grow. So two things. One is like it's idealized, but it's not that far from what can really happen in that amount of time. And the other is just a plug for Patty's workshop.
Patty does do a good workshop. I've been through it as well. So the thoughts are, although this is idealized and is very short, it does happen this way. Simple questions, if properly framed, do provoke a lot of reflection. And professional coaches or people learning life coaching call these powerful questions. Powerful question provokes reflection, and that's what we're trying to do. Help someone reflect on their lives, their relationships, and the skills they think they need in ways they haven't been able to do before. So that by the time we get to the end of step two, this person, me, should have a pretty good idea. Okay, I get it. You know, I don't get all of it yet, but I'm seeing some things here that I'm going to want to work on that I really wasn't thinking about before. And maybe I need to adapt what I've learned to step one, what I thought I knew, and make some changes. And that's where you get to, excuse me, that's where you get to at the end of step two, with a good idea of here's what I want to do. This is what it's going to look like. So step three is, okay, Chip, if you want to develop patience and you want to develop a godly attitude toward your dad, how do you go about doing that? Okay. And that's where we've gotten to. What are some things you can practice that will actually help you do what you want to do? You have the awareness component. You now gauge that awareness and say, how are you going to learn to do this? Is that making sense? Am I explaining that okay? All right. So that's where we've come to here. Let me just hang on a second, Patty, see what I need to cover first. Okay, so those of you who are looking at the handout notes, I have to apologize a little bit because I tweak what we present right up until the very last. So this is not in your notes. It's a new slide. What I wanted to do was lay out a roadmap of where we've come to so far and what you're about to see in the little demonstration that Patty and I are going to do. Otherwise, it might get pretty easy to get lost and not see the different things that are happening. So we'll post these PowerPoints on the website after the conference, so you'll have access to the full set. So first of all, in step three, we're trying to identify the target skills, what it is I want to develop. And I've now said, I not only want to be patient, but I realize I have to change my attitude. I have to have a more godly attitude. And one of the things about developing all of this is you realize there's an outer aspect and an inner aspect to each skill, each relational ability that I would like to acquire. In order to be more patient toward my dad, I need to have a different attitude internally. My heart needs to be differently configured, differently wired, in order for me to express that patience in a godly way. If I want to learn to listen more effectively, there's an internal component that's going to help me become a really sensitive, empathetic listener. And so skills have both an inner and an outer aspect. And this is just straight Jesus, right? For what comes out of a person's heart, a man's heart, is what they wind up saying and thinking, their behavior and their actions. That's what this is all about. If I want to become a good listener, I need to have a heart that is wired in such a way that it supports good listening. So again, a real opportunity to help people dig into where their struggles are, not just with a particular skill, but much more deeply in terms of their Christian walk. And as they do this, guess what's happening? They will become more mature, and they will become more relationally wise. And as they do that, they will find that they are much more patient than they used to be. And they're able to relate to the other person in a way that was previously not possible. That's how we hope all of this begins to fit together. Okay, so you're gonna hear Patty walk me through choose one skill and develop a plan for how I'm gonna go about developing that skill. You'll hear us do that, and I'm gonna choose attitude. I wanna have a godly attitude. And then finally, we're gonna create some action steps. These are specific activities for developing skills. So I want to develop a godly attitude. What do I do that? What are some things I can practice on a regular basis that will help me change my attitude? That's what we're calling action steps. Okay, so you're going to hear that. I'll keep this up here so you can follow along because all of this will tend to merge together, and then we'll unpack it a little bit afterwards. Okay, so let me get on the same page as you. Okay, Patty, you're up.
Okay, Chip, you've identified patience as a skill you want to work on, but you also wanted to develop a different attitude. So what is one step that you can take to move forward?
You know, Patty, I think working on attitude first is going to be the key. If my attitude is rotten, I'm not going to be able to be patient with my dad. So I'm going to start there.
Well, more specifically, what type of attitude would you want to have?
I tend right now to be very judgmental. Hang on a second. And we're back. There we go. I tend right now to be very judgmental toward my dad. I need to have an attitude that is merciful and compassionate. I need to have a godly attitude. I need to have one that truly reflects Christ. I need to really be to my dad the same way that Christ is to me when I mess up. And right now, that's not where I am.
So what would be a few steps that you could take to begin that journey?
Boy, you know, I think where I need to begin is I need to apologize. As I look back over months, years now, of not treating him well, not treating him right, there's a big barrier there. And I think it's time for me to own up and take responsibility. I need to confess it to God, but more than that, well, not more than that, but equally, I need for my dad to know that this is something that I'm deeply sorry for, and to ask his forgiveness for how I've acted, how I've handled him, dealt with him.
So where do you go from there?
Okay, so apology is a place to start. If I'm going to change an attitude, I know me, I'll have a good intention and I never will carry it out, right? So I've got to make this something that I work on daily. I think that there's some things I may be able to do, but I can't just, you know, say, God, make me patient or make, give me a good attitude, and it's just going to happen. I've got a part I have to play.
So what would that look like?
Cindy and I have devotionals every morning. We pray together. I think just every morning, having a chance to be accountable for that and making it a part of our prayer life. And I'd even like for her to ask me how I'm doing on that, and especially after I've spoken with my dad, so that I have to do what I say it is that I want to do.
So spending time with God in prayer, what would you do next?
Well, as hard as it's going to be, I think I actually need to meet with my dad. And that's where the rubber meets the road, right? Mm-hmm. Is actually getting in there and talking with him. I avoid it. I need to, after I've made that apology, I need to, part of that, I think, needs to be that I want to get together with him more regularly. That this is part of my change, okay? I think he would love that if I come into it with the right attitude. And I think it would give me lots of opportunity to develop a godlier attitude.
So developing a godlier attitude, you mentioned listening earlier. What would you like to do with that?
Yeah, can we add that?
Sure.
To my
sure.
skills list? Mm-hmm. I'm not a very good listener.
Oops.
I'm not a very good listener, and patient people are good listeners, so maybe that's something I should work on. Okay, observations on this.
I have a question.
Yes.
I know this is idealized and condensed, but my experience in working with people and in my own life, that has a wound associated with it. And so there has to be healing on your side because you've been hurt by a situation. And until you invite Jesus into that space and to give you healing in that wound, you can practice these skills all day long, but you will not move forward. Carl Kraft said it. You can fill the rats, but if you don't take out the trash, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
In the training, is there a place where you are aware of and you recognize that these behaviors that are coming from me are probably associated with something? It could be 4 years back, it could be 40 years back. But that has to be healed before I can move forward with a healthy set of skills.
Yeah.
In my experience,
yeah.
Me personally.
Yeah, absolutely. So the comment is that oftentimes someone like me, there's a wound there that needs to be healed. There may be one in my dad as well. And so how will coaching help me come to grips with that and actually begin to experience healing that will allow me to move forward and to begin to develop the kind of relationship, one of patience and with a godly attitude? We don't actually, and is that part of the training? The answer is, at this point, it's not a specific part of the training. One of the things that would happen, I think, in a more extensive role play is that we would get into those kinds of things. Patty would be asking some questions that begin to ask, you know, how are you thinking and feeling about this? Are you able, just in terms of your own life and your own woundedness, to actually move forward? Where we would go from there in terms of the training, that might be an advanced course. The one we're working on now is sort of the basic. How do you walk people through this? But I think it would be important, listening to what you've said, to have red flags to watch out for. So as a coach, I may not know how to lead someone in the way that you described, but if I'm finding out that that's a problem, let's get you to someone who can help you work through this, okay, so that you're able to move forward with your dad. Thank you. Very good comment. Very helpful. Yes, Mike.
Just go through just things that are mechanical to me. That's because I'm not very bright. But going back to getting the log out of your eye of the peacemaking model, where does it, and especially I'm part of that that material. How does this model talk about, you know, the guy's problem is not that he lacks patience. The guy's problem is he's murdering his dad and his mother all the time. And so it seems like this, maybe I'm missing it because y'all are just hitting the tops of the waves of the demonstration, but it seems like this is really leaving out idols of the heart and the thing behind the thing.
Yeah. So I'm finding, and I've practiced this some, but I'm using this more in a conflict coaching format than I am in a relationship building format. But I'm finding that idols of the heart comes in at step two, and especially that self-aware question. Wonderful opportunities. I talk about what's going on inside me, thoughts and emotions. They hyperlink to the heart. And so as I hear that as a coach, it's a great opportunity, and we will teach this in the course, to help someone go more deeply, recognize the idol, and understand what the repentance would look like for that. That's mostly where it's going to happen. Other passages like, you know, Matthew 7, 3 to 5, about getting the log out of our eye, I think that's very much going to depend on the context and on the coaching context. I think there'll be a lot of times where that is very helpful. There will be other times where it's not. And so one of the things we've envisioned doing is sort of a supplement to the basic training where we have both scripture passages and where they can be helpful and how they can be helpful. So a coach, as they're preparing to meet with someone, would have a lot of that in mind and look for opportunities to raise those as places that they could explore. It is mechanical and it is rote. We're trying to make this something that we can teach to people, and so we're trying to come up with a methodology, and that's what we're presenting today. The actual content, I think, of coaching experiences is going to look a lot, it's going to be much more like improvisational jazz, okay, than it is like reading, you know, a linear from point A to point B to point C. It's probably going to go all over the place, yeah. But we want the coach to have some idea of how to step in and help this person make sense of what they're struggling with. Is that, have I answered it okay?
Yeah, my turn.
Yeah, good. That's a great observation. We're not trying to leave scripture out of this at all. Okay, but scripture, for this kind of setting right here, scripture has, I think, has to be appropriate to the context of where the person is struggling. So if they are struggling with saying it's all that person's fault, I'm not involved at all, Matthew 7, perfect. Getting the log out of your eye. It might be appropriate here. We just don't know enough about where I am and what would be helpful to me. Other observations? Going to move on. Yes?
One of the things Dave Mikulski out there but was talking to me about last night was the difference between coaching and counseling. And in my head, as I was hearing all you guys talk, it seemed more like if I'm a coach and I notice that maybe a guy's not following through on his swing or whatever it might be, and I notice that over and over, and we've taken steps to try to correct that, but then all of a sudden it dawns on me, there may be something physiological here that I'm not qualified to deal with, but now all of a sudden we're not going to drop the coaching. What we're going to do is we're going to get the other pro in, yeah, the doctor, the kinesiologist, whatever, to help with this physiological thing so we can keep going.
Yeah,
the coaching side.
Yeah, so there may be physiological problems, and if we can deal with those, great. We're running out of time here quickly. I'm going to run through the last little bit pretty speedily. So let me just do this. I'm going to summarize what Patty and I just did. First of all, my desired skill list now. What I want to work on is going to be a godly attitude, patience, and listen to understand. Those are the three skills I've listed. Now what I need is a plan for each of those skills. How will I actually develop a godly attitude? So we're just going to take that. So I've come up, Patty's led me to come up with a number of ideas. So I can apologize and ask for forgiveness, include in my morning devotionals, practice mercy and compassion in conversations with my dad. What's missing here is that if I just simply have as a plan, well, I'm going to apologize and ask for forgiveness, is that enough? What's a good apology look like? How do I go about asking for forgiveness? This is all, scripture is full of this stuff, and so is the peacemaker. We have the whole idea of the seven A's, apology, confession, that can be brought into play here. So there are a whole bunch of other action steps that Patty can help me identify and take. An action step is just a single identifiable action that'll move me toward my goal. It's doable before the next coaching meeting. 2 to 3 action steps per topic, and it could be anything. Thoughts, decisions, actions that I'm actually going to take. Okay. And then once I have an action step, we won't have time for this, but let's say that one of my action steps that, or I'm looking at this apologize and ask for forgiveness, what are some action steps that I can do to actually go about learning that? So I come up with some action steps, and then I'm going to do what's called a SMART check. Okay? I'm going to ask, is it specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and do I have a time limit to it? Okay? And step four is I'm just going to go out and do it. And there's going to be a debrief that follows that. In your notes, you'll see that there are a few ideas for how to go about doing a great debrief. What progress did you make on your plan? One question. What did you learn? And what would you do differently next time? And I'll post this PowerPoint on our website so you have access to it. Sorry to hold you over. Thank you so much for staying and for your questions. If you have any additional thoughts or comments, please be sure to let me know or let Patty know or Dean know, because as I mentioned, this is a work in progress and we're still trying to figure out what the best way is to put this together. So thank you very much and look forward to the rest of the conference.